Kim to the stack.
Okay, Kim, go ahead.
Okay, caller, according to this balance sheet for August 31, he says he has $500,000 cash in bank. He's saying here he owes $60,000 in accounts payable.
Oops.
And he's saying he owes $348,000 to the national office.
It's a common thing. Sorry. He has $500,000 in cash and $347,000 of that is owed to the national office. That's a net.
Plus $60,000 of accounts payable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, you know, a little under $100K to get them through the month of, you know, through the next drive and whatever we get in September, which they estimated on their projections about $100K. And it may be a little bit more than that, but our bills are, you know, $300,000 a month. That's how much we've been spending, including central services. So, you know.
Well, likely that's going to get bridged, as Bernard has made fairly clear, by delaying the payments for the central services. The problem for the network as a whole is that when that happens, operations suffer on lots of levels. And when we're talking about a station that has fixed expenses that it can't control, that's one thing. When we're talking about a station whose expenses are discretionary, it's another thing. So we have a situation where, you know, KPFK fell way behind on central services, and I'm not quite sure that we're making the proper adjustments to let them get caught up and buy a transmitter and continue to function. It seems to me that the numbers that we've been getting from management have been a little sanguine about how all that's going to be done. It seems to me that it can only be done two ways from a cash flow point of view. One is to delay the purchase of the transmitter, which has already happened for 12 months. And the second is to further delay the payments on central services, which is operationally a bad idea. Well, it's going to cause a great deal of organizational stress.
And it's not
unnecessary. So I'm not really seeing an argument for restoring expenses to this budget. The question is whether the budget draft that we're working with, which I did send to everyone, is enough to get them over that hump. Since the fundraising success has been good, it may be, but I don't think there's any grounds to add anything into this budget that we've already taken out. And I realize there's a disagreement with management about that, but that's not unusual. And I'm not really hearing too many convincing arguments to the contrary. So I'm inclined to think that most of the work that we did on September 11th was basically correct, and that probably the budget draft that we're working on is where we're going to need to sort of hold the line here. It is a decrease in projected revenue, but it's not a steep one. And I think that it's justified by what, in general, August aside, have been their missed fund drive goals, which have been substantial. And I think that the expense markers are probably pretty accurate. I think expenses do have to go down over what they were in 2012. So the question is sort of, do we want to massage these figures a bit more or do we don't? And I heard Summer and then I heard Bill.
And then Kim.
Okay, so taking it to management perspective, central services need to get paid.
You've got to move.
Summer, you're muffled. Can't hear you.
It's okay.
We're telling you. We couldn't understand a word.
Can you?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Goody. Tell me if I get any.
There we go.
Hello.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay. Two whole bars. Okay. I have to say, you know, and I brought this up on the management call this morning.
Yeah, it's not an option for stations that are able to delay in their central services, and I want to get the managers used to making their contributions to the various shared services on the dates when they actually need to be made, so as not to jack up the system, because we've had some very severe issues with the health care. One of the health care plans this past week, other issues with payroll, but just in general, yes, it really jams up the system beyond belief not to get the central services or the shared payments on time. So that is definitely not an option for balancing one's budget. Clearly, the transmitter is super high priority. So, yes, whatever budget gets arrived at needs to contemplate paying that stuff on time and you know, because it's going to be really required at this point going forward, because we have too many bills that languish too long because of the sort of slow pay within the system. And that's got to stop. So, and the transmitter, I agree, is a very high priority. So any fluffy numbers aside, I think the final budget does need to be reflective of, you know, what the actual fulfillment rate is, and with all that being taken into account. And because we can't have another station that needs to hang on to a portion of central services in order to do other things. So I'm just concurring in the strongest way that these obligations have got to be met by this station as well, and the budget needs to reflect that. So thank you.
Okay.
Bill?
Yeah, right, Bill. You were next. Correct. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I've talked a lot. Somebody else wants to go. It's okay. I think it's critical that we use realistic revenue figures first. The $3 million that you put in there for
somebody mute. I think Summer.
Sorry. This is my walk.
The $3 million that we have in there for listener support, I think, is probably about the highest we could go. And I rechecked some numbers I had. You know, if you use their projected FY 2012 listener support figures, which was based on 93 days of fund drive.
No.
And then you adjust that for 91 days of fund drive for FY 13, which is what Bernard said they plan to do. So you multiply that times 91 over 93. Made a little error when I emailed you earlier, Kim, but that ends up with $2.977 million. So, you know, we're rounded up to $3 million. That's okay. And I don't think it's realistic to expect more than that. Now, in terms of expenses, we still may have to cut expenses even more than what you have on here, just because of the cash flow situation or because of the deficit the last year and the failure to make cuts when, you know, our previous ED asked the GM to make cuts. They're in a worse situation now. I'm looking at the spreadsheet again that you sent out, Tracy, the one dated September 10th. Shows total operating expenses $2.99 million for FY12, and comparing it to the previous year, the audited value is 2.871. That's $120,000 more in expenses for this year than last year. Just, we can't do that, and we're going to have to cut more to compensate for that, because it drained the cash balance so much. Even though I realize it'll get boosted up the month of each fund drive, you've got to have enough to last to the next fund drive. That's kind of what Kim was talking about. And so we may have to cut the expenses even a little further than what's in this last spreadsheet that you have.
I was next. I'm the stack.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to add, you know, I know that there's $20,000 in there that I have suggested be cut, which is, you know, paying for employee cell phones. You know, we have suggested this numerous times. When Bernard was on this call, we asked him about it. He said he was thinking about it. So he may need to think a little harder about this, because, you know, that's $20,000 that's discretionary, and he doesn't want to take out, but he can't unless he, you know, we've left it in there, but he can find other ways to make cuts on, you know, our contracts that he has not yet been willing to look at or tell us about. So that's up to him how he wants to play that, all we can do is the numbers, you know, use the numbers that he's given us.
Yes. The upshot of cutting expenses is always that if a different expense can be cut, then something that was taken out can be put back in. That's
and I
true.
Also, I think fulfillment is optimistic. I think our listener support is optimistic. I mean, you know, and it's fine, you know, a little hope there. But I think it's, you know, barely believable. And I suspect what's going to happen is when it goes under, they're just going to add fund drive days, and we're going to be even worse than last year. And, you know, I object to just, you know, running up expenses and just adding fund drive days. That's going to, you know, especially without a transmitter. So this is a kind of a mess, you know.
Okay, I'm going to try to turn the conversation a little bit towards what we did on the 10th, I guess is when we did it, because the 11th was PFW. And I guess what we really kind of need to do is for people to go over those numbers and see if we want to stick with them or if we feel that they're not the right way to go, because we do need to finalize this one way or the other. We did spend some 2 hours hacking through it line by line. But things change, and we didn't finalize it. So what I'm going to suggest is that we start off with the revenue numbers, and if there's anyone who wants to speak in favor of keeping them as they are, which is a reduction of about $110,000 off of the projected 2012 and the FY 2011 audited. And if people want to speak in favor of swooshing that up, or if people want to speak in favor of keeping it where it is, or if people want to speak in favor of not even feeling that those numbers are low enough. And I think it could go either way, and I'm not saying one is right and one isn't. I'm just saying that we kind of need to settle on those numbers, and our revenue number will lead us to our expense number because we're not spending more than we're projecting to bring in. It seems to me that a lot of what we had going on with the listener support was because we had some fairly optimistic.
Wow, you're fading out now.
Sorry. It seemed to me what we had going on with the listener support, and we kind of dealt with this, is firstly we had some fairly optimistic things going on about the per day numbers, which we have somewhat adjusted downwards. And the second thing that we had going on was we had some community events income, which we felt was not really supportable, or some anticipated community events income, which we felt was not really supportable. So those two items that we addressed in concrete terms, along with the issue of the random website income, those are the three changes that we made. Let's see if we can tamp those down or if we need to debate them further. That's it. I heard Clavarn for the stack. Who else wants to be on the stack?
Kim.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Clavarn followed by Kim.
Kim,
okay. One of the other major thing which I sent information to Anthony and Bernard was the fact that their fulfillment rate for the last drive was a little high, that it wouldn't be likely they would accomplish that fulfillment rate for the last drive of the year. So that needed to be adjusted downward. And so I just need to look at that to see, I'm pulling it up to see that if it was adjusted downward for the revenue for August, September.
This is Kim. I just have a quick comment to make, and it sort of relates to what Lavarn said.
Go ahead.
Bernard publicly said that we had the pledges were $600,000, but when the Memphis report came out, it turns out our pledge amount was $581,676. So So that, you know, I changed my assumptions after I got this figure and the per day, which obviously decreased that somewhat.
So is anybody speaking in favor of changing these numbers, or do we feel pretty okay with them?
I'm, you know...
Bill?
I'll let Bill speak.
Okay, Bill, go ahead.
I think you should cut expenses more so that we have a little bit more of a surplus for the year. That will allow them to rebuild a little bit more cash balance, a little bit more reserves by the end of the year. And, you know, I agree they need to get that transmitter purchased absolutely as fast as possible, but they can't do it when they're continuing to spend as much money as possible. And I think we need to cut the expenses more. Remember, the even if they had extra, an additional surprise income, I guess, in August, it doesn't mean that it's okay to have the expenses so much higher for this year than they were last year. And we got to make up for that.
Okay. Well, I just want to be clear. We're talking about the revenue part of it. And with the numbers that we came up with last week, we did, in fact, cut expenses over the projected 2012 by $250,000. Not a small amount.
Yeah, I don't – I guess I want to leave this revenue where it is. And, you know, I think, you know,
okay,
I think personally think it's rosy, but it's not, it's certainly not as rosy as it was, and it's barely supportable. So I'm gonna say that this is, how much did we cut out of revenue? And most of it was not out of listener support. It was the other sort of specious stuff, wasn't it?
It's $110,000 less in revenue that is then for the projected 2012 forecast, which may or may not be accurate. I don't know, but it's was in what was in the figure. And it's $250,000 less in expenses, which makes sense because you're buying a transmitter, so 100 of that is already accounted for.
Right. Madam Chair, did you hear Campbell for the stack?
I did not. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Campbell.
Okay, thank you. I'm thinking that in terms of the revenue picture, we, you know, certainly know that the transmitter has a negative impact on what you're able to, you know, raise because people can't hear you. And when the transmitter comes in and it's functional and everything and your signal is better and brighter and all like that, I think that, you know, we can certainly expect a bit of a bump as a result of that. So I certainly would suggest that this would not be a time to, you know, further hamper their ability to engage by reducing the projection for revenues.
Say that again, Campbell.
This would not be a time to hamper the ability to engage, in other words, to get a larger audience, et cetera, by cutting or and figuring that, oh, this larger audience that you may be able to reach is not going to be responsive. You know, that I think, you know, is counterproductive and goes against what, you know, Pacifica's been able to do over the years.
Right.
So if you can reach them, you know, you've got a greater opportunity to embrace them, and they embrace the station.
Right. Point of information. If
Kim,
we,
Kim,
okay.
Kim, wait. And
okay.
See if anybody else wants to be on the staff. I hear you, and I want to be on too. Does anybody else want to speak or haven't spoken? Okay, go ahead, Kim.
Even if we could order it October 1, it wouldn't be up broadcasting until January. Okay. So,
I'm absolutely certain of that.
Absent that's based on last year, yeah. And we ordered it October 1. So, we're not going to be able to order it October 1. it was, you know, it was up by January.
That seems like a mighty long.
It has to come from across the country.
Yeah. Well, modes of transportation and, you know, fulfillment and everything tend to get better over time, you know. So, you know, I think that the fact that something had occurred last year, in fact, that may have been an anomaly as well. But I can see where you're coming from on that. But I think that, you know, 4 months to come cross country, I mean, you could do that in a wagon train.
Ken to the stack.
Okay, I wanted to be on the stack too, but go ahead, Ken.
Well, I would just move the agenda here and stop.
Thank you.
Let's move it. Bill made a motion to lower the estimated revenue by whatever. Did he give a number? Let's vote on it.
No, it was expenses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay,
there's
okay.
No motion on the table. There's no motion. I'm just
moving. Let me do procedural stuff.
Okay.
We're discussing what we provisionally did last week. I'm trying to chop it up into revenue and expenses. Some of us are cheating. The motion that would be on the floor is to solidify the revenue numbers because the revenue numbers indicate how much you can spend in practical terms. Campbell is making an objection to lowering the revenue numbers based on the purchase transmitter. I'm going to reiterate that it's going to take a couple of months for the transmitter to be up and running. It's going to take a couple of months for the audience that could not receive KPFK or could not receive it consistently to come back. It's not an instantaneous thing that all of a sudden you install a transmitter and people start pledging that couldn't hear you before. If anything, they listen for a while before deciding that they're going to pledge. So I think assuming that oodles and boodles of money will come from the transmitter this year is probably a little over-optimistic, although one would hope that in fiscal year 2015, you would see some benefits that would be substantial. I'm not sure you can assume that for the final 6 months of the year. Okay, I guess do is we'll put a motion on the floor to cap the revenue at 3.4. What do we have? 3.407 million. Just so people are clear, that's a $50,000 reduction. Can listeners support over what's projected for FY 2012? And there are a couple of other reductions that add up to another $60,000 or so, much of which manifests in community events, which, as we know, booked a certain amount of money, but it costs more money to get that money. It's not really money anyway. So that leaves us at $3.407 million. Have a vote, or can we do that as no objections for the revenue number?
Can I get a, what is the exact wording of the motion?
The exact wording of the motion is as follows: to adjust listener support account 5,000 to $3 million even, to eliminate website income account 5011, to reduce account 5750, community special events, to $25,000. And to eliminate $5,000 from account 5800, which was grant income others. Those are the four changes that we made on the revenue side.
Okay. Want me to read it back? Okay, I will. What I have is to adjust listener support, general ledger 5,000 to 3 million, to eliminate website income, General Ledger 5001, to reduce account 5750, Community Special Events, to $25,000, to eliminate $5,000 from General Ledger 5800, Grants Income Others. Tracy? Okay, I'm not hearing Tracy. I don't think anybody
else. Neither am I.
Tracy, we can't hear you if you're speaking.
Heard a double beep.
I think she fell off. I expect her back momentarily.
Okay, well, wait a second. She'll show back.
And this is what's in that spreadsheet that we just got today, too, from her.
Yeah.
Tracy, that you?
That's me. Sorry. Apologies. The phone died. So is the motion clear?
Oh, want me to read it again?
No, sure. Why not?
Okay. The motion is to adjust listener support, General Ledger 5,000 to 3 million, to eliminate website income, General Ledger 5001, to reduce account 5750, Community Special Events, to 25,000, to eliminate 5,000 from GL 5800, Grants Income Others.
Okay. Are there objections? Okay, it looks like that passes without objection. That takes us to the revenue lines. Let's not forget that we did go through this in sort of excruciating detail several hours a week ago, and we ended up with a teeny tiny surplus. I guess at this point, if people could take a look at the spreadsheet and, you know, let me know if you're comfortable with those numbers or see something that you think needs to change.
This is Bill. I guess I'm going to say that I take back a little bit of what I said a few minutes ago, because when I was looking at those cash flow, the cash flow projections, that was before we made these cuts. They were really scary before that.
Yeah. Right.
So this will allow hopefully a small surplus for the year to begin to rebuild cash reserves and get the transmitter. So I guess I'm okay with this. But if, you know, if still, like, it's, Kim had a good suggestion. If there's anywhere else we can cut, whether it's cell phones or whatever, that would put KPFK in a better position.
Great.
Kim,
I agree.
Back.
Kim?
I've made suggestions to the general manager. He has not to date been interested in them. So until he does that, we can't say what to do. Okay. We've made these suggestions. They're not unknown to him. Should he choose to, you know, cut the cell phones and get another $20,000, that's his prerogative. If not, it's going to have to come out of somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right. All that we can really do as a committee is focus on what the bottom line numbers are. We are making suggestions about some specific areas.
Right.
That we think need to be trimmed. It is going to be a management prerogative, and it's between the ED and the GM to deal with the implementation. The question is basically, do these numbers look right to people or like a reasonable projection?
They look good to me. You know, they look okay to me. I mean, I haven't done the math on the personnel, so I'm just trusting that you figure that out. You know, I've never, you know, but all the other line items look okay, you know.
Mhm. Okay. Well,
I mean, the one thing we don't know is about the lockbox still.
Right.
And whether that's going to, you know, first of all, that should be operational. But that may give, you know, it may save us some money somewhere. So he'll have, you know, I suspect that these drives are going to do less well than, you know. So, you know, if we save a couple of $100 on the lockbox.
This is Ken. Onto the stack.
I'm sure it won't. It'll be gone before it's tracked.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Ken.
Do we have a vote? Can we call a vote?
I think that we can. What the problem is going to be for me is that we made a whole bunch of small line-by-line changes, and I apologize for this. I was supposed to have them summarized for this meeting, and I don't.
Well, what do you mean? Do you
want
to go over?
Wait a minute, please. Kim,
sorry.
Kim, please.
Kim,
I recommend you read off five at a time and then call a vote. If we have a lot of things to go through, we got to get going.
Well, what I'm saying is that I don't have them all itemized, all of the specific changes that I made, that we made.
Or can we go through five of them?
No, we can't because I don't have them itemized. I have to go back to the original budget and open them up side by side and compare line by line, and I have not had time to do that.
Okay.
So what we can do, and what I think that we probably should do, because I hear you on the time and I'm tired tonight and I would like to get off this call, is mm-hmm. I think what we can do is provisionally approve these numbers based on the spreadsheet in front of us, and we will formally compose a motion for the meeting on the 25th for our poll. That will be line blankety blank, et cetera, and formally pass it at that time. Would that be acceptable?
Yeah, yeah. Just as a follow-up, yes, as long as it has like a target amount in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, that's...
cause a decrease in over operating expenses equivalent.
Yeah. This is Summer. Can I weigh in for a second, please?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. I mean, as long as the revenue and expense have been appropriately massaged, tweaked, and et cetera, those are the broad numbers we need to pass tonight. I mean, that need to be passed because, in reality, at least as far as I have been communicating with managers, you know, like whatever the amount is that comes back as a reduction in their proposed budget, we have to sit down and look at everything. You know, that's so line by line guidance is helpful, but yes, I don't think it's necessary to pass the larger number tonight, at least, and come back with that detail at the next meeting would be helpful.
Yes. We do need that detail to formally finalize the budget, and we will do so. Everyone has a spreadsheet, and everyone has a spreadsheet in front of them with what the final numbers will be. You've all been sent it. Those numbers are not changing.
Kim, to the stack.
Kim, yes, go ahead.
I can do probably 95% of the work because I still have my notes, which is what these,
yes.
You know. So
that would be awesome.
Yeah, I can make up the descriptions of the line items that were changed and why. So
good.
I will task myself with doing that for y'all.
Thank you.
But I obviously can't do it in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, which is fine. So what we'll do is we'll pass a motion provisionally passing a KPFK budget with we already did a motion for revenue, so this will be a motion for total expenses of $2.739 million before shared services and capital, $3.299 million before capital, and a surplus of $23,647 after capital with line item details to follow. Does that work all right?
I'm putting, let's see.
Okay.
Can I ask a
I wrote that down
differently. Now I have to put it in as a motion. One second, please. That I'm
sure.
A cough drop. Pardon me.
Okay,
I
have a Kim. Question.
I heard Summer.
Okay, let me go to Kate. All right.
Take Summer first.
Yeah. Okay, just since 23,000 is such a narrow margin of surplus, I just want to see where this interfaces with the motion that was passed by the PNB. I want to say, like, 2 months ago, month and a half ago, that with the, you know, the ED shall work with general managers, et cetera, towards, you know, balancing their budgets and dealing with cuts on a station-by-station basis and having a surplus. I can't remember now if it's 30 or 60. I have to go back and look at the motion, frankly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just interfacing with the sort of short time frame of working on getting, and I'm not saying I expect you to fix this tonight. I'm just raising it as an issue. Okay, we have one motion that has been passed that's out there that says I'm going to work with these managers to make sure that we not only have budgets that balance, but in fact get a surplus. So I guess this is fine. It passes the budget. The other thing is still in play. I'll still work with them to get a surplus. But, boy, there's no surplus there. That's a month of operating capital, that's for sure. Okay.
Well,
all right. I guess,
you're getting the surplus with $250,000 in cuts off your projected FY 2012 expenses. It's, you know, these are not insignificant expense reductions.
No, and these are more realistic, and we've had this issue before with like $300,000 askew compared to reality. So it's not at all. I'm just raising it as a concurrent issue. So I think the mandate is still there to work on achieving a greater surplus than the budgets contemplate, which are sort of bare bones. But no, very good. Thank you. Okay. Kim?
Oh, well... is Summer saying the number should be $30,000? Because
no, Summer is just pointing out an anomaly. I actually don't want to waste your time having you rework it here tonight. Okay, adjusting a budget from where management may have it projected to what looks realistic to the committee is enough work, and achieving that with at least a surplus and not a negative is fine. The other motion that was passed by the PNB doesn't change that. You know, I should still be working with managers to increase revenue sufficiently to have a month of operating capital. So I suppose I was actually thinking aloud, Kim. So you're fine with the budget, and I'm aware of this other policy which sort of encourages it to be better than that, which is fine. That's how it should be. Okay,
yep.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, now my question. Procedurally, how would you like me to make these, you know, show these changes just in a straight memo, or can I add a column to this final budget on the line items?
Add a column.
It'll
be easier to read, and it'll be easier to integrate those numbers into something we can show the PNB. Add a column.
Okay. We can always turn it into a Word document if need be.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be great. Okay, R. Paul, are you ready with a motion?
Yeah, I got. Let me read you what I have. The NSC provisionally approved the KPFK FY13 budget proposal with a total expense of $2.729 million before central services and capital.
$2.739 million.
Okay, one second. Make that a three. And then it says 3.299 before capital. So I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay. And surplus of 22,347 after capital.
Yep.
With line item details to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I got.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay, sounds good. So Kim will come back to us with the line item. We'll do one more motion to finalize that, but basically it's done. And there will be some work feeding all of this into the template, but we can do that later. With that, I think that pretty much takes care of things. We will need to look at the archives budget and the national budget next week on the 25th, as well as pick up all the hanging threads from before we started the budgets. I'll keep you all apprised what happens to the budgets nationally, those of you that are not on the PNB. And I think that's pretty much it, unless anybody has anything to add.
Ken, I have
yes,
one.
Ken.
Yes, Ken.
I looked up consent agenda, and it's only for non-important items, trivial items, or considered less important.
Mm.
Schedule.
Not really organizational budgets.
Well, it's specifically not things that you want to disclose or inform the public about. Like
mm-hmm.
things the public are interested in should not be in a consent agenda. So I'm trashing that idea.
Okay. Anybody else?
I just want to thank everybody for working diligently on the K budget as well as the rest of them. Okay, and I will work with the managers to make reality meet reality. Okay, so thank you, and thank you for all the detail and et cetera. So.
And thank you, Summer. We have been working diligently. I think we would like to work a little bit less diligently for just
a
little while.
So. And I'd like to get everything flowing more smoothly. So we're going to work on that on all fronts. But anyway, thank you. I mean, yeah, all the extra meetings, and we'll be doing more of that all season. So I'm thanking you now. So. All right. Good night, everybody. I'll see you on the next call.
Thanks,
okay.
Summer.
Thanks.
Awesome.
Next week, Summer.
Good night.
Tracy. Next week, what are we doing exactly next Tuesday? PRA and National Office?
Next Tuesday, we're going to do PRA and Archives, and then we will go back to meeting twice a month. That should be the last of the extra meetings, and hopefully we'll put the consolidated through probably October 11th, which I think is okay.
Okay, so PRA and National Office next Tuesday.
Yeah, and then we'll have gotten all 7 budgets through for all divisions by the 25th.
Okay, that's reasonable to warn.
I'm sorry? What did you say?
I just want to make sure that's reasonable for LaVarne, if she'll have both those ready for us.
I thought we talked about that at the top of the meeting. LaVarne?
I thought I heard LaVarne also.
I wasn't sure about National Office. I think she mentioned PRA, but okay.
May I comment if LaVarne is not available? I didn't hear what got said at the top of the hour, so if I'm contradicting something, but can I give my perspective on it?
Yes,
sure.
We're having a lot of issues with very specific things, such as payroll right now, which is taking an incredible amount of both of our attention and needs to continue to take that attention in a very serious fashion until all these problems are resolved. Obtaining the underlying numbers that I think are necessary to properly produce a national office budget is something that I think still is at issue here, and I don't personally perceive it as realistic that we would have a national office budget by next week. Not that that stuff isn't coming, of course, from all these other budgets, but I think there are sufficient things occurring right now that require absolute committed attention for the next several days that conceivably that would divert virtually all of our attention from preparing anything for this committee. And I'm being realistic right now, okay, because this is just like all of my Friday virtually, except for some other meetings that are really critical. And then all of both of our Monday, and we have healthcare issues. And the payroll issues must be resolved proactively and effectively between now and next payroll period. I've already had a union meeting over it, and I just would not anticipate a national office budget from us next week. Or if you don't get it, I wouldn't be surprised, okay? And I can't afford to make that a bigger priority than the other things that we have that have got to be resolved before the next payroll period. So just saying that now, PRA budget, fine. That sounds good.
Well, the problem,
if you get any kind of idea that it isn't happening, I haven't talked to LaVarne. I don't know what LaVarne told you, but just conceivably, the diversion of time and attention seriously being applied to payroll right now is a lot, and should maintain at that pace until it is fully resolved. And so I think that takes priority. And so just realistically, I think next week just might not happen with our budget unless it's already
The problem for us as a committee is that we've been meeting very, very frequently, and since there is some pressure on let me just finish.
I know.
Since there is some pressure on us to, get these budgets through, it may be it doesn't make sense to meet on the 25th, and perhaps we should meet on the following Tuesday
is that scenario makes it possible to get the last two budgets that we need to deal with. Because rather than meeting both days, it might make sense just to move the meeting up a bit to allow a window to get what we need.
I haven't consulted with LaVarne on this, but I do feel that it's taking intensive communication on multiple ends, and it's going to require addressing multiple issues simultaneously and quickly and involving a lot of different departments. And anyway, it's just I think that would be a really good idea personally. And that way I want to see to it that as much as possible we eliminate the problems that we've just experienced and that this does not happen again. And, you know, and I think it's just, yeah, that would be much better for the national office.
Available to meet on October 4th, which is the Tuesday in between.
October 2nd.
Okay, whatever. Tuesday. That Tuesday in October. Are people available?
I think a lot of people already rang off thinking you'd adjourned, but I'm available.
Kim?
Yeah, does James Brown get down? Am I available on Tuesday? I forgot Tuesday exists.
Okay.
So it won't be a problem on a national level to have a national budget come in, you know, in the beginning, the first week of October.
Well, it sounds like it would be less of a problem, at least.
Let me ask something here. Would there be any benefit in just finishing up K and doing PRA for a very short Tuesday and then doing a second short Tuesday on the second, or having one monster meeting on the second?
I like the first one, Kim.
Short and short?
Short and
That's an academic question. Well, we could try. I mean, whether it turns out to be short remains to be seen. Let's leave it on the calendar. If, in fact, we can't even get the archives budget, then I'm sort of going to take the fifth that we may end up canceling at the end of the week.
Yeah, okay.
But if people can be a bit flexible, let's see how things go.
How about I consult with LaVarne and with Brian and see where that all looks, you know, to see if that's realistic.
All right.
Okay, that part of it.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll tentatively calendar the 2nd. Yeah. If we can meet on the 25th and get something done, we will. If there's really nothing to do, then we'll kick it over to the 2nd.
Okay. I would just like to get Kay out of the way, but I'll defer on that.
Yeah, if it's nothing but Kay, well, that would be a very short meeting.
Right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. If we could at least get the archives, it would feel a bit more like a reason to have a meeting, right?
Yes.
Yes, Bill?
And I just note that Elections is also meeting on the 2nd. So if there's a problem with streaming or recording, I can probably do that for NFC again. It's not the optimum solution, but we'll probably need to do that.
Okay. That would be good. Thanks, Bill. Yeah.
This is summer. I mean, I believe Brian was ready to present his budget in terms of justifying, but of course, whatever part, you know, national plays in terms of taking the 2.5% out of the station budgets, I don't know. I need to talk with LaVarne about this based on what we've got going on that requires this immediate intensive attention for the next few days. Okay. Whether PRA is going to be ready or not. So if we can touch base by Thursday, okay, that would be good.
Okay, that sounds good. Just keep me posted, and we'll be flexible. It sounds like we'll probably meet on both days, but
of course you will.
Short. Okay. We go short.
Short. Yes, we will meet shortly.
Short. Both times. Short.
Okay, duly noted. All right, so I think we're good, and we'll probably see each other in a week again.
No.
Good night, everyone.
Adjourned. Okay. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Night.